Well, amen. Good morning again. You all are like the Navy SEALs of churchgoers. You guys, neither rain nor shine. What, Navy SEAL post office. What's the Navy SEAL's motto? Rain or shine, we'll come kill you? Like, what is it? I'm gonna make a guess this morning that second service will not be as well attended because I think youngsters are not as tough as you old people. I think that's true. I think you guys are like, listen, we've been through World War II. No ice is gonna keep us from church. That's a guess. So we'll see. Apparently, I feel licensed to say whatever I want. So if you're joining us from home, we're glad that you're safe there. I hope you're having a good weekend despite the icy conditions. We had an awesome weekend at my house. We had a really, really fun weekend. We slept in on Saturday. We had pancakes. Our house was very cozy. My kids sat in my lap and I read them books. We went to the carousel yesterday afternoon in Mansfield, and Rosie's favorite thing to ride is the kitty cat. She wanted you to know that. We had a lot of fun. We went to my wife's parents' house, and we ate dinner, and it was just like a really fun, full day. You know, you have one of those days where it was just like, this was, you couldn't sketch up a better day. And because my wife's mother cannot help herself, the kids got to open one Christmas present. my brother-in-law got Whitaker a toy chainsaw. And he was a little confused at first, but once he got the hang of it, he was so happy, literally walking around the house with this toy chainsaw. He is literally an ice hockey mask away from being a tiny serial killer. He loves it too much. And I hope that's not a part of a Christmas present from somebody else for him. And I just had this feeling at the end of the day, at the end of the weekend, of just being full, you know, heartful. You ever, like Thanksgiving, you eat too much, and then somebody brings out the pie, and even though you know better, you eat more, and then you feel like, oh my, like you feel uncomfortable, you know. A friend of mine says, the meal's not over when I'm full, the meal's over when I hate myself. There's this sense of so full, you're almost uncomfortable, and that's the way I felt last night with my family, close, like so full that I feel uncomfortable. And that discomfort comes not from any physical ailments, but the discomfort comes from knowing that not everybody is as full during this holiday season. Not everybody has so much life and love surrounding them on Christmas. And so this morning, as we enter in the Gospel of Luke, I want to talk about what happens when Christmas feels empty. Our text this morning is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. As always, it'll be on the screen behind me. Here's the word of God for the people of God this morning. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. Let's pray this morning. God, we pray as we gather that you would continue to reveal to us the beauty of your gift of your coming. That even those of us who have heard this story many times would find a freshness, a newness to this text, that we would once again be filled with wonder and awe at what you are doing when you come. We pray this morning that your word would go forth, that it would bear fruit, that it would make plain the kingdom of God, and that we would respond simply and honestly that we are your servants and we desire your word to be fulfilled in our lives. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus, and God's people said, amen. Amen. If you've been following me on social media, you'll know that I endeavored a project at the beginning of this year to take one photo for every day of 2016. Unbeknownst to me, this was going to be a living scrapbook of my two children, who tend to be the recipients of the photo, or at least the subjects of the photos every day. And even last night, as we were in bed, I was looking through and going, wow, some of those pictures seemed like they were just taken yesterday, and yet the kids have changed a lot since January of 2016. And I was thinking this week as I was preparing that what might a photo album of the world look like of 2016? What would be some of the images that we would have grabbed that have painted a picture about what this year has brought us? And to me, one that I cannot get out of my mind is the picture of this young Syrian boy in an ambulance. Have you seen this photo? His name is Omran Dakhnish, and he and his family were sleeping in their apartment building when it was hit by a bomb and the structure collapsed. And the picture is of Omran, obviously in a state of shock, staring blankly ahead, covered in dust, head bleeding, and just completely helpless and dazed that the city he lives in is completely war-torn. Looking at photos like this is really hard. It makes us angry, it makes us frustrated. It fills me with a sense of impotence. I can't help him. I don't know what to do for them. And it makes me think of what does Christmas in Aleppo look like this year? Do they have Christmas? Can you have Christmas in the rubble when everything around you has been torn down, when all the things that used to be pillars of your life are now crumbled at your feet? And it seems to me that you don't have to go to Syria to find people who are trying to navigate Christmas in the rubble, right? That there are a lot of folks, maybe even folks in this room, who feel like they're standing in the middle of the wreckage of something that used to be called their life, right? So maybe this Christmas is your first Christmas without your spouse or a parent. Maybe this is the first Christmas you have since you've lost your job or your home, or your first Christmas since the miscarriage. The rubble and the wreckage takes many forms, but one thing that unites it is that we are all a little shell-shocked in those moments, a little overwhelmed, a little confused, not knowing what to do or where to go. I like Luke because we see right away that the angel Gabriel comes to speak to Mary. Gabriel, an angel of some note, one of only three angels named in the scriptures, the other two being Lucifer and Michael. And we know for sure that Michael holds some position of authority even among the heavenly realms. We can assume possibly that Gabriel also holds a rank of importance because of how he is mentioned by name. He comes three different times to us through the scriptures. The first to the prophet Daniel to speak of a messianic hope that will come in generations past, or in generations to come. He then comes to Zacharias to inform him that even in his old age, he and Elizabeth will bear a son. And then finally, in this text, to Mary, the virgin. Gabriel, we know from his dialogue with Zacharias, stands in the presence of God. He tells Zacharias so when he doubts his word of prophecy. He stands literally in the presence and the holiness of God, the Creator. Can you imagine the fullness of that position? The beauty and the wonder and the love and the truth that must emanate from being that close to the presence of God. Gabriel stands in the presence of God and leaves and comes to Nazareth, a backwater, backcountry Judean town. We know from another gospel that some people scoff when Jesus says he's from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Empty town, a good-for-nothing town. Gabriel leaves the presence of God to go to Nazareth to speak to a virgin named Mary. And his words are perhaps peculiar, knowing that he is in such an empty town and speaking to such a fragile human. He says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Interesting. He comes to bring good news that you will bear a son. A problem emerges. How will I be pregnant when I am a virgin? And at this point in the dialogue, we recognize that there are two kinds of barrenness. There are two kinds of empty, right? When we're talking about Christmas in the rubble, there are two versions of emptiness. The first is an emptiness that has always been. And the second is a removal of something that was that makes everything seem stark and cold. So the emptiness that has always been, there's great news, there's great biblical precedent that I mention in our invocation, that God is actually in the business of filling empty vessels with his Holy Spirit, right? Six times we see this through my quick review of Scripture, that God takes a woman who is barren and opens her womb so that she may produce a son. The first was Sarah and her husband Abraham. The Lord promised that he would make of them a great nation, that through them all nations of the world would be blessed, and yet they were very old and they had never conceived. She does have her son. Then it's Rebekah and Isaac, who is barren, and the Holy Spirit opens her womb as well. Then it's Rachel and Jacob. God opens her womb as well. Then later it's Hannah asking the Lord for a son. He gives her one. She names him Samuel. He serves as the office of the high priest of Israel. There's another lesser-known one, a Shunammite woman, who gives shelter to the prophet Elisha. And he says, in return for her hospitality, God will give her a son. And she laughs, as is often the result when women who are barren are told they were going to have sons by the Spirit of God. And 1 year from the day, she is in fact holding her son when Elisha visits again. And then Elizabeth, who gives birth to John the Baptist, the one who will make way and prepare a way for the Son of God. So God is in the business of filling empty vessels, even though it might be an emptiness that you've always known, right? But then there's this other kind of emptiness, this emptiness in which you did have something, and all of a sudden it's taken away. And I will argue this morning that that's the kind of emptiness that Mary has to navigate moving forward. What was taken away from Mary, you ask? She seems to be given this great gift. Unlike the other six women, she is given a child even though she has known no man. Right? But I want to argue that something was taken away from Mary and that it was her normal life, right? Her life as she planned it. And if you doubt that something significant was taken, I would challenge you to try being a 50-year-old, pregnant, unmarried woman in the ancient Middle East. See how that goes for you. See if you haven't lost something culturally in your heart. And this is what I love about Mary. We are enamored by the miracles that surround the birth of Christ, the coming of angels, the coming of wise men, the gathering of shepherds and sheep, right? But there's something amazing about Mary. It's her response to these unfathomable, right? Like incredibly profound statements of God. And she responds with such wisdom, even in her young age. She skips the seductive but impossible to answer question, why? Right? When tragedy comes, when your life is blown up and you're standing in the rubble, it is so easy for us to ask why, and it never has an answer. Right? At least not one that feels satisfactory. Mary skips the why question. And she moves straight ahead to how, which I think is a much better question to ask. How can this be? How can there be Christmas in the rubble? How can I put my life back together, stumble through the traditions without those who we've always leaned on? How will I have a baby even though I've never known a man? And the answer that the angel spoke 2,000 years ago is the same answer he might speak to you today. How will you celebrate in the midst of the rubble? The Holy Spirit will come, and he will be a help. I want to talk about lobsters. Ah, the cockroach of the sea, right? Lobsters are interesting. Because lobsters, I don't know if you know this, don't stop growing for their entire life. Do you know this? They're always growing perpetually. When you see those big boats and they pull out these giant lobsters, that's a senior citizen. Put that thing back. Stop doing that. What are you doing? But the other interesting thing about lobsters, and to the addition that they never stop growing, is that they are soft, mushy crustaceans in a hard, rigid shell. And the shell doesn't grow, okay? So, even though a lobster spends its lifetime growing, the shell does not grow. So what happens is this. When it's so uncomfortable that the lobster can no longer exist in its own skin, it scuttles underneath some rocks to protect itself from predatory fish, and it breaks the shell. And there it stays, vulnerable, exposed, amidst the rubble, until a new shell is formed, right? So, Here's the fun thing about all of the tragedy that surrounds us. Here's the good news of the angel Gabriel to those of us who are trying to figure out how we are going to have a Merry Christmas this year in the middle of all the strife that surrounds us. And the good news is this: God is still in the business of filling empty vessels with his life, right? And sometimes being in the rubble is an opportunity not for us to wail and to scream why, but to focus on the Spirit of Christ and ask how. How will I move forward? And I am far from the angel Gabriel. I think we can all agree on that. But the scriptures tell us where two or more are gathered, that his spirit is also. So I am one who is standing in the presence of God. And I will say to you, if you are feeling overwhelmed this Christmas, that something's been taken away and you are standing amidst the rubble, the word of God for you this morning is, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Right? How will this story of brokenness be put back together? That is a work for the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit who puts the life of God in the belly of a virgin can bring his spirit to your Christmas that might feel empty, right? So, let's give thanks from all of the things in our life that seem completely difficult and impossible to navigate. Let's give thanks that we don't have to navigate them alone, that the Holy Spirit is with us, and that in those moments of brokenness, when we are shell-shocked, when we feel like we don't know how to perceive a way moving forward, that those are the moments, just maybe, that the Spirit of God is getting ready to build new life in the backwards town of Nazareth that seemed empty, in the womb of a virgin that was certainly empty. God placed the spirit of his son, right? So my prayer for all of us is that whether your Christmas is full to discomfort or whether your Christmas seems very empty, that we would all rely on the presence of God to fill us to overflowing. And that it would all be to his glory. May we have the strength. This is the other thing about Mary. May we have the strength to say this: I'm the Lord's servant. May it be as you say. Let's pray together. This morning, Jesus, we are thankful for the times in our lives that were so bright and full of joy and gladness. And we treasure those moments in our heart. And Lord, also teach us somehow, Lord, to give thanks for the seasons of desolation, the seasons of emptiness, because in them you may yet be birthing a new thing, waiting to fill up our emptiness with your very presence. May those of us who are experiencing Christmas in the rubble this season have a greater sense of expectation for you to come and to bless us with your love. We pray that you would continue to fill these broken vessels with the power and presence of your Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and God's people said. Let's stand and sing together. Thank you.
the first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so
wonder about those gifts that the wise men bring, and I wonder if Jesus wouldn't have preferred a toy chainsaw instead. I love that song for this morning because it tells the story of that ragtag first Christmas. I mean, what a bunch of random people to gather together in one manger, in one place, right? Shepherds, a virgin pregnant and her spouse, and three wise men. What a random group of people who I think embodied that they had nothing else except for this desperate hope. This child was the Christ. So let's receive this benediction this morning. May your hope this Christmas only be that Christ continues to fill empty, broken vessels. And regardless of where you're at in this season, may your heart be full to overflowing this Christmas because of the presence of Jesus and the promise of his love. We pray this in the strong name of Christ our Lord, and God's people said, go in peace, church.